Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 34. Genesis chapter 34. This is God's Word. Now Dinah, the daughter Leah had borne to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land. When Shechem, son of Hamor the Hivite, the ruler of that area, saw her, he took her and violated her. His heart was drawn to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the girl and spoke tenderly to her. And Shechem said to his father Hamor, "Get me this girl as my wife." When Jacob heard that his daughter Dinah had been defiled, his sons were in the fields with his livestock, so he kept quiet about it until they came home. Then Shechem's father Hamor went out to talk with Jacob. Now Jacob's sons had come in from the fields as soon as they heard what had happened. They were filled with grief and fury because Shechem had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing that should not be done. But Hamor said to them, "My son Shechem has his heart set on your daughter. Please give her to him as his wife. Intermarry with us. Give us your daughters and take our daughters for yourselves. You can settle among us. The land is open to you. Live in it, trade in it, and acquire property in it." Then Shechem said to Dinah's father and brothers, "Let me find favor in your eyes, and I will give you whatever you ask. Make the price for the bride and the gift I am to bring as great as you like, and I'll pay whatever you ask me. Only give me the girl as my wife." Because their sister Dinah had been defiled, Jacob's sons replied deceitfully as they spoke to Shechem and his father Hamor. They said to them, "We can't do such a thing. We can't give our sister to a man who is not circumcised. That would be a disgrace to us. We will give our consent to you on one condition only, that you become like us by circumcising all your males. Then we will give you our daughters and take your daughters for ourselves. We'll settle among you and become one people with you. But if you will not agree to be circumcised, we'll take our sister and go." Their proposal seemed good to Hamor and his son Shechem. The young man, who was the most honored of all his father's household, lost no time in doing what they said, because he was delighted with Jacob's daughter. So Hamor and his son Shechem went to the gate of their city to speak to their fellow townsmen. "These men are friendly toward us," they said. "Let them live in our land and trade in it. The land has plenty of room for them. We can marry their daughters and they can marry ours. But the men will consent to live with us as one people only on the condition that our males be circumcised as they themselves are. Won't their livestock, their property, and all their other animals become ours? So let us give our consent to them, and they will settle among us." All the men who went out of the city gate agreed with Hamor and his son Shechem, and every male in the city was circumcised. 3 days later, while all of them were still in pain, two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords and attacked the unsuspecting city, killing every male. They put Hamor and his son Shechem to the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and left. The sons of Jacob came upon the dead bodies and looted the city where their sister had been defiled. They seized their flocks and herds and donkeys and everything else of theirs in the city and out in the fields. They carried off all their wealth and all their women and children, taking as plunder everything in the houses. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have brought trouble on me by making a stench to the Canaanites and Perizzites, the people living in this land. We are few in number, and if they join forces against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed." But they replied, "Should he have treated our sister like a prostitute?" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Two critical things going on in this passage that we need to understand. First is a rape. Tragically, what happened here, as evil as it was, as wrong as it was, as upsetting as it was to the family of the young woman who was raped, this is not a unique situation. And people throughout history, around the world, in various cultures, have been forced into sexual activity against their will. And that is what was happening here. The words that are used in the Hebrew don't have to do with seduction. They have to do with taking someone by force. Now, seduction's not okay. But it was even worse than that. It was a man forcing himself on a young woman because he could. He was the prince of the area. And as far as he was concerned, whatever he wanted, he ought to be able to have. He says to his father, "Get me this girl as my wife." He doesn't, as some of the other rapes recorded in Scripture happen, he doesn't afterwards cast her aside. He wants to marry her. But basically, he wants what he wants. And he's decided that he ought to be able to have whatever he wants. That's apparently the way he's grown up. And so when he sees her, he doesn't say, "Wow, she's beautiful. I wonder if I could marry her." He takes her, he rapes her, and he decides, "Yeah, I want to keep this one." And so in order to keep her, he says to his father, "Make it so that she's my wife." And the father sets out to try and do so. And the son goes with him. And they humbly say to these visitors in their land, "You name the price, okay? We'll pay whatever it is, okay? Just tell us how much your daughter's worth and we'll pay that money." How do you like these folks? Not good people. For the record, not only is it wrong to force sexual activity on somebody, that is very wrong, but I want to remind you that sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. And so if you notice the response of the brothers, they knew this was wrong. Doesn't matter how it happened, it's not supposed to be this way. Please understand, sex outside of marriage is wrong. It's sin. It's not okay. Now, was Dinah guilty of something because she had been raped? No. There's no indication in the text that she had done something wrong. Some people have gone back and said, well, she shouldn't have been visiting with those pagan women. Well, it is true that you should be careful who you hang out with because you can put yourself in a dangerous situation. But people who are raped, people who are violated, it is not their fault that the other person did what they did. The only thing in this passage that we see about Dinah's behavior is that she went to visit with some people who didn't know the Lord. That's it. And the Bible doesn't forbid that.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and he's holding out his hand. This young man who raped her comes with his father and offers to pay any price that they demand in order to marry her. And hey, while we're at it, let's just make it so that we can all intermarry. I mean, we've kind of noticed that you're a bunch of brothers, and this is the one daughter, this is the one sister of yours. Wouldn't you guys like some wives? We've got women. We can work out a deal. The prince wants to marry your daughter, and you guys can pick one of our women for each of you. Wouldn't that be perfect? What a deal. The brothers speak up and they say, that's not a deal. We can't do that. They don't address the evil that's been done. Instead, they hatch their own evil. They're furious about what's happened, but hey, they put on a friendly face and they say, I think I know what we can do to work this out. I believe I know a way we can make this a win-win situation. It would be totally unacceptable to us for us to marry your daughters and be one people with you unless your men receive the same circumcision that we have all received. Now, what is circumcision? It is the cutting away of the foreskin on the man's sex organ. Okay? The New Testament makes it very clear that that is not a requirement for all God's people today, but it was a requirement that God put in place in the Old Testament for all the Israelites. This was a very big deal. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant between God and his people. And these guys didn't explain about God or his covenant. To them, it was tradition. They were behaving deceitfully. They were offering the sign of the covenant, something that was extremely holy, something that was a very powerful symbol of man's relationship with God. They were offering that symbol to these pagans who did not know God. And they're saying, you just do this thing and everything will be all right. Now, was that because they were thinking maybe that'll make it all right? No. Look at the passage. Verse 13. Because their sister Dinah had been defiled, Jacob's sons replied deceitfully as they spoke to Shechem and his father Hamor. They said, we can't do such a thing. We can't give our sister to a man who is not circumcised. That would be a disgrace to us. We will give our consent to you on one condition only, that you become like us by circumcising all your males. Then we will give you our daughters and take your daughters for ourselves. We'll settle among you and become one people with you. But if you will not agree to be circumcised, we'll take our sister and go. They replied deceitfully because they'd already decided what they were going to do. They already had a plan. They didn't say, okay, let us ask God, but I think maybe we can work this out. If you'll become like us in covenant with God. The sign of the covenant without faith only produces death. If you are baptized, but you are not believing, you are not trusting God, that's not going to save you. Baptism in water cannot wash away your sins. It is a picture of what washes away your sins. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is the only thing that can wash away our sins and make us right with God. But if you receive the sign of the covenant and you're not really trusting in Him, don't think you're going to go to heaven. Oh, yes, well, I was baptized. Water baptism, just like circumcision, only has power as an expression of a covenant with God. And God had given His people this sign. It was a holy thing. And these sons of Jacob used it deceitfully. Shame on them. It is absolutely evil to take the holy things of God and use them deceitfully in order to try and manipulate people to get what you want from them. And that is what Dinah's brothers did. And that is why, on the one hand, Hamor, not a good guy. Shechem, not a good guy. But the sons of Jacob, not good guys. They felt like they were standing up for their sister, but they did it deceitfully, bringing God into it in a very perverse way, taking something holy and precious and wonderful and twisting it in order to be able to murder people. Not everybody in town was guilty of raping their sister. But they decided while they were at it, they couldn't just kill the prince because there would definitely be retaliation. So we're going to do a preemptive strike here and wipe out all the males in the city. One guy raped one woman. Two guys led the murder of a city. Killed all the males and took the women and children captive, along with all the other stuff. They treated those women as property, which is exactly what was so upsetting to them about what the young prince had done. When somebody else does it, I can look at it and say, oh, deplorable. How can they live with themselves? What a terrible thing. How dare they? When I do it, well, I had my reasons. It was, you know, you have to understand. And we can see that here with them. We look at what they did and we say, shame, embarrassing. Why did they put this story in the Bible? Why does this particular event get a whole chapter? Because this is emblematic of the human condition. This is the kind of thing that is going on all around the world and right here in our country today, where people are deceitful and violent and people get used as if they were property, as if they were things and not persons. This is where people live. Some of you know what it is to be abused, to be molested, to be lied to be deceived and exploited. Let me tell you something. God knows, and God cares, and God promises that one day every tear will be wiped away for those who are His. And what really matters is your relationship with him. Dinah didn't become a bad person because of what happened to her. But the fact of the matter is, her brothers that she would go back with, her brothers were the same kind of guys as the fellow who wanted to marry her after he raped her. People are not the real solution to the problem. Jesus is. Jesus is the one who can heal your hurts, who can change your heart, fix your mind, and make you new. He's the one who can forgive your sins and give you the power and grace to forgive others. And you need to know that the problems today in our culture are not new. They've been around as long as there have been people. And that's why it is so amazing that God's plan was to save those who trust in him. Now, what about Jacob? Look at verse 30. This is after his sons have seized their flocks and herds and donkeys and everything else of theirs in the city and in the fields. They carried off all their wealth and all their women and children, taking as plunder everything in the houses. After all that has happened, Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have brought trouble on me by making me a stench to the Canaanites and Perizzites, the people living in this land. We are few in number, and if they join forces against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed." What's Jacob's concern? Self-preservation. You know what that reminds me of? It kind of echoes in my head when I read his response here. He said to his mom years earlier, "If Dad realizes that I'm pretending to be Esau, it will look as if I'm trying to trick him." He was trying to trick him. But his concern was not, is it right, is it wrong, is it honest, is it truthful? His concern was how it appears to others and what impact that's going to have on him. Jacob the deceiver had a bunch of sons, generation after generation after generation, a pattern of deceit, lies, saying what I have to say in order to get what I want. You can learn good manners. You can learn a good work ethic as far as what it looks like and how to do it. You can say what you have to do, do what you have to do in order to impress people. Jacob was all about making a good impression. Okay? He knew how to do that. But he was still not focused on what is pleasing to God. And his faith was not in God. He says to his sons, "If the neighbors get upset and they turn on us, we'll be wiped out." How could he be wiped out? God had said that he and his descendants would be like the sand on the seashore, like the stars in the heaven, that they would one day have all that land. His concern was that he was still looking at circumstances instead of trusting in God. Let me tell you, what is desperately needed is people who are trusting in God and therefore fearless when it comes to doing his will. Do you really believe that God will keep his promises? He will. And because we know God will keep his promises, our concern needs to be what is pleasing to him, not what is everybody around me going to think.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.